I cultivate the giving habit as I do the saving habit. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. I cultivate the giving habit as I do the saving habit. Think about that. As you give, so shall you receive. Where'd you hear that? Interesting statement, isn't it? The Bible, yeah. As you give, so shall you receive. And with what measure you judge, so shall you be judged. So, how are you going to save? Everyone should have a happiness account. And that happiness account should be their savings, you know, or two savings. Mm-hmm. One saving should be the 10% for themselves. Another should be 10% for the organization that best supports their spiritual life. And the rest that they're going to save, now that's not how the saving, you don't take 10% of what you're saving. You take 10% of your income. Take 10% of your income and put it in the happiness fund. So if you get $100, what do you put in the happiness account?
$10.
If you get $100, what do you put in?
$10 still.
If you have $100 and you have 10%, what do you put in?
$1.
You put in $10. And if you have $100, what do you put in?
$10.
And if you have $1,000, what do you put in?
$100.
And if you have $10,000, what do you put in?
$1,000.
Okay, now. So, say for instance your income for a month was $4,000. Isn't that nice? $1,000 a week. So, $4,000. So, how much would you put in your happiness fund?
$2,000.
What?
$400.
Boy, you are generous. You put $400 in your happiness fund. That's 10% of $4,000 a month. That's before taxes and before anything. You know, that's your total amount. That's the amount that you want to say, I earn this. If you go and say to somebody, I have a job. Oh, that's wonderful. What do they pay there? $4,000 a month. Wow. How much does it take home? You know, but what do you earn? You earn $4,000 a month. I would love to have to pay $1 billion in taxes every year.
No, me too.
I'd love to have to pay that because that would mean that I would have a lot of money, you know. But you see, this is the wonderful thing. We must learn to think in abundance. We must learn to think in opulence. We must learn to think that we're independently wealthy. Mm-hmm. Instead of thinking chintzy and cheesy and cheapy, you know, I was talking to Christy over in London, and she was saying, well, we could take a flight from San Diego to North Carolina, and I said, well, don't bother getting your airline ticket ahead of time, you know. Get it when you're here, and we'll get it from some cheap airlines, you know. She said, oh, you deal with them too? And we go to the most modest-priced airline that we can, you know. That's always a nice thing to do, right, Ellen?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you see, we look on the internet and we check it out. We don't just go to a travel agent, but we go to the internet and we choose what we want. And we have our ticket printed at our office here, and everything is all done. We just go down to the airplane and get on. We've already paid by our credit card and we're all set to go. And so, you see, it's not a matter that we can't afford first class. It's not a matter that we can't afford the top airlines who charge the most, you know. It's not a matter we can't afford those things. It's a matter that we're using our money wisely. We have an income of $4,000 a month, for instance, and we're giving 10% of that to our happiness account. We give 10% of that to our tithing, to our spiritual organization, and then we pay our bills, and when we're done paying our bills, not much left, but when we're done paying our bills and paying the taxes and paying the withholding that we get, then we maybe have a little bit left. And rather than saying, oh, good, we have $400 here that we have left after all things are paid and stuff like that, let's go party. No. Take that $400 and save it in a saving account for whatever projects you have coming. If you're going to fritter it away on little things, you won't be able to buy the big things. But you save it, and you put it away, and maybe even invest it. and invest $400. Sure, there are places that take your investment for $400. And you're going to get a much higher percentage than the bank offers. The bank is more available, perhaps. But you see, the thing is, I cultivate my giving habit as I do my saving habit. And when you save money, you also give it wisely, too. Now, we had a statement here in one of our talks that I just love to take a $10 bill and put it in an envelope and address it to somebody and put it on their desk and not let them know that I gave it to them. I just felt real good doing that once a week. This person did it. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, why did it make them feel good to give the $10 away? I mean, they could have used it, you know. They could have bought lunch with it or something, you know, or a part of lunch. But to give the $10 away meant that they set up the channel of giving. They sent up the flow of income in their life and in their affairs. And that is to, so to speak, no outward beneficial way. It's to no outward beneficial way, but it's an inward beneficial way. It is in your heart that you feel good about it. Now, you really do. But don't ask me to tell you what to do. You do what you know is right. Because if I tell you what to do, I'll say, give it to your spiritual organization, who is us. But in any event, as you give the flow, you get things going, and it keeps coming back. We have a lot of our students who have been calling in and telling us that they're not going to be able to make it to our 30th anniversary celebrations in July and October, and that they want to send a major donation in to us on behalf of the university and on behalf of our 30 years. And we said, fine, that's fine and dandy. And you see, that's the wonderful thing about it. Here in the United States, our accounts are all tax exempt. And in Europe, we're still working on the tax exemption for our accounts over there. But that will come soon, too. Now, you see, have the saving habit. And with the saving habit, beautiful things come to you. Beautiful good comes to you. Abundance flows to you. And it does flow to you. But if you have in your heart a stingy attitude, then you cut off everything from coming to you. Good could be right at your doorstep waiting to come in, and you say, oh, that's too good to be true, sort of thing, you know? You say, I don't want to spend this money. We have to use it for other purposes. Well, okay, go ahead, you know? I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I say to you, shut up. If you are going to say anything, say what you want to do. Make sense? If you have a certain amount of money you want to use for some purposes, say, I'm going to use this money for this, this, and this purpose. Don't say, I don't want to use it for that, that, and that purpose because I want to use it for this, this, this. Just say, I want to use it for this, this, this purpose. Anytime we start making the negatives in there of why we don't want to use it for something, then we bring problems into our life, and big problems. In other words, the biggest problem in the world. We spoke about it the other day. The fellow got this job at vice president of his company, big salary and happy as could be, and thinking he was in a stable company, which it was stable, but the company sold, was bought out, and the new owners put new executives in, and the old executives were out. It was not that the old executives were bad in any way, but they were under the regime of the former organization, and the new executives are going to be under the regime of the new organization, which is understandable. But you see, he thought, I'm in a stable organization. I've got the vice president's title. I'm on my way up that ladder, you know, and I'm success. And boom. Now, why did he lose that job? He lost that job because somewhere he felt, I am looking for security. Instead of saying, I am looking for creativity, I'm looking for using my talents to the highest and best, I'm looking for being associated with a fabulous firm where I can enjoy participating in their programming and stuff. But no, I'm vice president, now I'm going to give orders, you know, and I'm going to do this, and that's okay. And most of the time it works out just fine. But sometimes it doesn't, when you are stingy, and that's unfortunate. Anyone who thinks that the CEOs of the major corporations of the country shouldn't be given the salaries and the bonuses and the extra monies that they're given every year is foolish. Because the more it becomes a possibility that these people can earn this big money, you're not going to get the money. What they don't get, you're not going to get. So why are you worried about it? Rather say, bless your boy, bless your girl. You just got $2 million bonus, you know, for your job. You get $1 million every month, you know, that's $12 million a year. Wow. Isn't that glorious, you know? And some people even get more. When you read about it in the Business Week magazine, it sounds outrageous, but it's only outrageous to our little minds. And we want to increase our awareness of our ability to appreciate the value of money and the value of sharing, the value of good habits, and the value of saving money and spending. And as soon as we learn that, then we get in the flow. But anytime you personally, and I know you have, were amazed, amused, and confused, and irritated at the great amounts of money given to one man, well, stop and think. That one man took a business that was maybe $2 billion and moved it up to a $20 billion business. You know? Do you think that he deserves to have some credit for what he's done?
Sure.
Now, you can't give him what he's worth, because that means you give him the company. But the thing is, you give him $1 billion. And you say, wow, hey, that's great. What these men and women have done, and some have done outstandingly, like Fiora, she has done just outstandingly with the Hewlett-Packard, and they know it. Because now new people are coming in there, and they're conservative, and there's no growth. Hewlett-Packard is walking backwards. But that they'll catch up again, just because they're a good company. But it's a shame. And what is that called? Leadership. Leadership. She gave the company inspiration and leadership. Who objected most? The board of directors, and not really the board of directors, but one or two members of the board of directors who felt that she shouldn't be being paid what she's being paid, and she shouldn't be given the freedom to do the work that she's doing. You see? And so they limited their own company. They cut off the nose, despite their face, of their own company. What a shame thing to do. But that's their business. Bless them. As I said, they'll come back. They won't stay stupid forever. They'll catch on to what they're wasting. And I wouldn't be surprised that she goes to some other major company and turns it around. But I think right now she's just taking a break. She's got plenty of money. She's a wealthy lady. She can do anything she wants. And she's just taking a little break. Leo Iacocca would always take a break between major activities as well as the other people. But you see, develop the saving habit. And develop the habit of living beautifully in the giving habit. And when you do that, everything comes back to you again and again and again and again and again, and you're independently wealthy. But if you haven't got that habit, then you're a loser. And have fun. Sports do not teach children how to lose. They tell them how to win gracefully and how to learn from every game how to be better the next game. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
But some of the coaches say, we got to teach you how to lose gracefully. Don't teach them how to lose gracefully. Teach them how to win gracefully and how to learn from every game they play. Whether there's always going to be a loser on every set of sports. You know, there's two teams. One wins, one loses. It's got to be that way. Now, they can tie. Wow, isn't that exciting? But a tie game is no fun because both teams are equally pitted against each other. And you want to see a little bit of action. And so when one team is not too far behind the other, but behind, then the game is more interesting. Think of these things. We say, I cultivate the giving habit as I do the saving habit. Now, do it. How are you, Mrs. Leo Iacocca? Huh? Yes. How are you, Mrs. Hillary Clinton, you know? You say, why are you calling me those names? Because those are people with unlimited consciousness, I tell you. They can be in the middle of a quagmire and smell like a rose. And that's the way it goes with people who knows. I love you. I love you. I love you.